Praises Lounge. Praises and Radio Tsona.
I think we'll assume that about them.
That they have, yeah. And it's the idea that the machine has to prove to us somehow that it has acquired this. You know, I watched Tron recently, the original.
Did you?
Which was quite fantastic. This is one of the, and like it still really had a lot of resonance for that, the machine taking over and messing with the users, shall we say. But we're here today in response activities, which is looking at kind of political activism. I guess the politics of technology as well. Like, it was interesting, one of the guys who was here before studying in Helsinki came from India, and he was saying that the people are not so questioning the underlying assumptions and philosophy of technology. It's just, well, what the latest, newest thing. And I mean, I think I like, one of the things I really like about the way you work is that it's bringing this kind of humour and subtlety and delicacy to machine interaction that feels like there's an emotional or human element.
Right. Yeah.
Of course,
yeah,
that is the reading or perception of it that, you know, I bring to it.
Yeah. No, I think I think it's true, and it's almost like a. I mean, the skeptical version of it, or pessimistic version of it, about myself is that I'm not actually that good at the end of the day with the complexities of the technology itself, and so I'm. You know, there are other ways of generating that complexity. And I actually think that's kind of good. You know, one of the things about working with technology is that it has changed the accessibility of it, the versatility of it has changed so much, so radically. And I know it's both cliche and glib at the same time to even say that about it, but I think it's fairly accurate. But it means that it, you know, divergence even from how it was functioning 10 or 15 years ago, it matters less, like, the technical innovation than what you do with it.
I think absolutely. Like, if you have an idea, then you find the form or material or method to express
it.
But I mean, you're so modest. Like, I adore, you had that whole thing where you created all the little cogs and, like, cast them in resin in your studio because you couldn't get the ones you wanted.
It's true.
You're very hands-on and, like, manipulating the technology to make it do what you want it to do.
Right.
It's Ella, our lovely curator. Hello, Ella. Would you like to come and say a few words in the lounge?
I'd like to visit you.
Nice. Would you like some tea? It's self-serve today. I've written Help Yourself, so it's a bit of a DIY lounge. This is my dear friend Andy Holton, who's visiting.
Hi. Very nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you as well.
And Cara.
Hi, Andy. I think so as well.
MMX. He gave the Arduino workshop.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
And he's got another show there.
I saw Nick the other, you know, from across the table a couple of nights ago as well, and we had that same, like, what exactly did we do in the same room together? Yeah.
But you went to Berlin, though. Yes, we did. So you did a workshop, and then you started going to the middle of Berlin.
I'm sorry, what?
When you were doing the workshop,
well, no, I don't live here, but I come here as often as possible. So.
And we're collaborating now from that workshop, so it's quite exciting. Brand new scientific kind of educational singing bridge project.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that it has to. I really regret that I can't be working on that project.
So do I.
Aggressively right now. I'm very interested.
But we will, okay.
Yeah.
So tell me what's been happening in the open zone today. Have you picked up?
Today for me, it seems to be a little bit the sharing day, actually. This is what I think. Because this morning, morning we had a panel talk. It came on. It was really interesting.
The Lost in the Open.
The Lost in the Open one.
Yeah.
And you know, Mushon, the chair of the session, we really tried to trigger people a little bit into, let's say, a more critical view towards open culture, not as criticizing open cultures, you know, per se, or you know, finding something bad with it, but it was rather, you know, leaving the usual advocacy hat behind and turning some of the critique more inwards. Because one of what I found his most interesting question was, are we ready for the day after the revolution? Because nowadays players like, I don't know, Linux and so on, they really, you know, they're all around, and it's not, they are not underdogs anymore. They're you know, they're not a bunch of hackers in the garage, but they are visible, they are there. So the question is not anymore about, you know, coming up, stirring up a revolution, but the question is, are we ready for the day after the revolution?
What do you do with the power or the resources
exactly,
once you've got
the responsibility?
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
And I found this question extremely interesting. And then we also touched upon the question why artists have difficulties sharing, you know, and what possibilities there are to share art, especially if you talk about fine arts, because there's a huge difference if you share something tangible or a code, basically, right?
Or if it's a creative thing, then people can be very attached to them, like it's
it's still a very defensive field when it comes to authorship. A few places where singular authorship
right.
is really insistent.
So I think this is really an issue. And then we had the workshop with Michelle Thorne this afternoon. She was talking about sharism as well.
Yeah.
And I see you, I see the headline.
Sharism in action.
Exactly.
It was beautiful. John came and just took the microphone and started inviting people and created a whole different conversation and energy. It was really super nice.
Yeah. And also, what you know, the sharism is also something I can see between the different people who inhabit the open zone. They really start to interact with each other and getting engaged. So yeah, this is probably something we refer to in our daily observer talk tonight with Alan Gunn.
Great.
And I'm looking forward to that. So that's my topic of the day, is sharism and all its facets.
And a little bit of your philosophy in bringing together this like curating this whole open zone. Like what inspired you to do that?
I would say it's I strongly believe in the potential of people that are in the same space. You know, this is automatically such a strong resource, and all we need to do is to create interfaces for people to meet up. I mean, what you do with Traces is pretty much the same, right? And also, what many others are doing here, they create opportunities for people to exchange, to engage, to meet up and talk. And I think that's the most valuable thing that can happen in a festival, apart from the impulses that you get in a conference and through the artworks. But we need the opportunity to go on with the discussion, you know, keep on the debate. And this will not, it will simply not happen if people just go away after a conference talk.
Just disperse. I mean, for me,
exactly.
I really love this because it's like Pixelake in Helsinki is one of my favorite festivals because it very actively creates a space where the artists are just spending time with each other, like in between things, dinners, socializing, but it creates a way of connecting. And because often you'll go to a festival, you do your thing, and then you leave.
Right,
and
it's
you
just
do
a
maybe
content distribution system.
Exactly.
Which is sort an outmoded way of thinking about anything because all of that content is going to be ingested and dispersed and shared through the systems that are being physically represented here. So it's great to have a physical form of that.
And to amp up the kind of interaction you can have to highlight it, I think it's it.
And I really think it's also great because we have invited all the artists and activists to combine that with their work, right? And to bring their work to the public. And it's almost really crazy if you think of Keith Bunting. He's known as a net artist, and people know his work by the computer. But now they really have the chance to talk to him throughout the whole day.
Right.
And I admire him so much. Also, Ursula and everyone who's basically known as a net art.
Yeah.
developers coming out. They're really taking the challenge and they present themselves, right?
Well, I think one of the nice things about that is that it isn't just setting up sharing systems in which sharing becomes the actual content that's being shared, which I think is also a little dubious,
you know,
to just assume, which is sort of the question with the sort of open access question that you were talking about before, is if that, not to be overly critical of it politically or anything, but that there's a tendency for the act of that sharing to sort of supplant what's being shared or how it's discussed or what's being digested in what way.
Right.
I think it's great to bring these things that are really more providing their own injection of analysis or contribution, and not merely like, let's talk. So.
We give you cake.
Yeah,
so that's
for instance, I mean, there's one.
Yeah.
Here's cake and tea.
And it's a different form of exchange, like cake for conversation.
Absolutely.
Which is also a...
I mean, this idea of a tea lounge, that is usually, that's the opportunity to sit down and talk. It's the medium, basically, right? But therefore, I really like the idea also of the tables and the setup, because we want to engage people in a dialogue, and it's this metaphor of, let's have coffee together, which, okay, we have stuff to talk about, but let's create a setting for that, so that's the cultural framework. And therefore, that was also the reason why we wanted to have this project here in the open zone, because it's a very inviting, generous way of engaging people, and that's exactly what we need to do. And also, people who come to festivals, you know, they want to get in touch. Not everyone is a perfect network. I remember a couple of years ago, I knew no one. I went to a festival and I got all nervous about all those people. It was really difficult to find access to them. I would have been happy, you know, having such opportunities.
I know, it can be really intimidating, like this. Like, I walked around before and I thought, oh, no, I didn't see anybody I knew at all. And I'm quite well networked now, but I was really happy to come back here and just go, oh, this is my little spot.
Right.
People will come and find me.
Exactly.
But to create that sort of space also for people to connect with someone they might not otherwise have met, which is also my thrill. Like, I really like
But just to put forward a situation where there's the assumption that connection is something that you actually want instead of secretly desiring it. You know, we move through little conferences or festivals or whatever, but to create something that says, like, this is what we actually want to achieve, so why not make that possible or a more approachable concept.
And not just leave it to kind of chance or the
exactly. Leave it to an offer mark in the lift.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is typically how it gets done.
Or when you overcome your shyness, or like you stand in a room full of people all day and then go home and think, oh, I haven't talked to anybody.
Yeah, right.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's true. I think also what comes into my mind is the fact that many people, they start to struggle with the usual conference format or the panel format, so they search for alternative ways. And I think workshops are actually quite a good instrument when they are public, you know, when they allow public to come in. Because it's like, therefore, we really wanted to create a public space that allows anyone to step through this door and, you know, join in without any ticket or without any other barrier, just being around. And if you feel like you can engage in a conversation, if you're too shy, you're standing behind, it's also fine. Because eventually you will.
Yeah, because you're not sitting and listening to something where you're just in an audience and there's no possible contribution. You can listen to it all day and no one's going to ask you, you know, what you're going to say. But if you're sort of around conversations, you will contribute and participate. So.
Yeah, and also for the artists, it's quite interesting. For Ursula, for example, she's not really used to explain her project to a live audience. She's doing her work, and then there's this whole realm of interpretation and not exactly knowing of what is going on, which is completely fine, but this is for her, it's like a total new thing that she has, you know, she really has the chance to get a direct feedback, and this is something that usually never happens with net-based art, let's say.
And also I think for me too, the form of conversation has been really useful in terms of developing my work, and like it, when you start to articulate things, then you also make connections that you didn't realize yourself,
right.
And you kind of get to another understanding of it.
Yeah.
So, like when you're teaching or something.
Yeah, I always find that my language for it is more extreme than my thoughts. Like there's a subtlety in my thought, or even like a pleasant grayness, you know, to the way I'm thinking about something that gets sort of forced into a reality when I have to have that discussion. So, and yeah, teaching is certainly the way that it gets pushed around for me.
I really had the rabbit in the headlights feeling before. Oh my god, it's all these people that I have to talk to.
It's really crazy. But you know, there's a certain point when you overcome your tiredness and things are starting to get really interesting.
I know, you get a little bit spaced out, a little bit like in a different zone, so then you make other ideas come to you.
I like that state because it's not about, you know, usually we are really scanning people and we are scanning the way of how we are networked with them and everything, but if you overcome that state, you really are.
Yep. They're all just people.
You're not sort of crunching the social equation really aggressively the whole time. And I'm still jet lagged, so that helps.
I love that feeling.
I'm pretty much fucked up.
That's nice.
Yeah, I mean, if I come over for a short visit, I don't try to fix my sleep. I just do whatever. I sleep when I'm tired.
Go with the delirium.
Yeah, pretty much.
Good plan. That's true. I haven't been anywhere for a long time. Enough to get jet lagged. That's good. It's nice to be a little bit like in one place.
Yeah. Priestess Lounge. Praises and Radio Psona.
From Tuesday 1st to Sunday 6th, February 2011.
Praises and Radio Psona. Traces Lounge.